Jamie and Locker with you on this Tuesday afternoon on the Green Zone. The texts keep coming in on Joey Chestnut, but I love this one from Ian. Joey Chestnut chokes less than the Leafs. Thank you, Ian, for the text.
Still not a sport.
Not a lot of hot dog eating fans out there. A lot of trash coming in that it's a sport or they're athletes. I don't know.
A sport is a physical activity with rules, often involving competition, while a competition is a contest between individuals or teams to determine a winner.
Tell me what Joey Chestnut does is not physical.
The Boots' text about not sweating kind of sums it up for me as well.
Well, I don't know about that.
Because they're putting, like, in a competition, you got spelling bees, you got debate contests, you got chess tournaments, things like that. I think you put hot dog contests into the competition side of things. Sports, football, soccer, tennis, hockey, basketball, baseball, cricket, that kind of thing, right? Like, so there's a line and it's very blurry. Like, it's hard to define it.
People are starting to consider video games sports. How is hot dog eating not a sport?
Don't get me going on the video games stuff. That is not a sport. That is not a sport.
Nope. They have like a side hustle now with the Olympics, even with video games. I'm not going to use the other term. I refuse to use the other term anymore because it drives me bonkers. They're video games.
Gaming?
No.
Gamers? Oh, okay.
You know what I'm talking
about. I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Video games.
It's a competition bordering on the possibility of it being physical in some nature. He fires hot dogs down his throat.
That's pretty physical to get 70 hot dogs down there in 10 minutes. Is it not? Tell me that's not physical.
It's disgusting is what it is.
Oh, it's the most disgusting thing humanity is like
they dip
done.
Them in
Dipping the bun in the water? Stop it. That is gross. Soggy bread might be the worst texture on the planet.
It's the worst.
You make a sandwich, put it in, and it's up against the ice, and then you grab it, and all of a sudden, and you, oh, come on! They're shoving that down their throat. That's gross. It's the grossest thing. Is it a sport? A lot of people don't think so on the text line. 1-877-332-8255. Well, we're getting ready for more football. Riders trying to shake off that loss to the Calgary Stampeders. They're taking on the BC Lions. We had a nice chat with Buck Pierce, the head coach of the BC Lions, on what it's like to be back in BC where it all started for his first tenure as a head coach.
Yeah, it feels comfortable being back, where it all began here. And, it's been good. You know, obviously, you know, a transition period, from the time that you take the job and then, you know, training camp and getting to know the guys and, you know, personalities and all those type things. But it's been good. You know, I'm enjoying a lot of, you know, familiar things, you know, from my time out here before and, you know, getting to learn some new things as well.
Buck, what's the most important thing that you took from your time in Winnipeg with the Bombers and now to the Lions in BC?
Man, that's a hard question, you know, because I was there for so long and learned, you know, so many things. I started my coaching career there, in 2014. So, you know, a lot of years I got to see the, you know, transition, you know, from when, you know, Mike took the job in 14 to, you know, I was there with him, you know, the whole time. So, a lot of lessons. I think, you know, the biggest thing is just, you know, learning how to win, you know, learning about your process, understanding, you know, trying to make it the best environment, you know, for the players and, you know, for them to be successful and how to, you know, sustain, you know, winning as well. And just, you know, creating that atmosphere, you know, for the players and the organization of, you know, what winning looks like and what that process is.
The head coach of the BC Lions, Buck Pierce, joining us here on the Green Zone, off to a 3-3 start. Of course, no bye week yet. That doesn't come for a few weeks.
That's odd.
Because of CFL scheduling and everything else. But what are the pros and cons to getting out this early, but in the back half of the season, you should be a little bit more rested than some other teams going into the playoffs after having to wait a little bit for your first bye week, Buck?
Yeah, I think you just try and, you know, constantly evaluate, you know, where you are, you know, team-wise, health-wise, you know, your roster, you know, what the players need every day. You know, there is some benefits, obviously, you know, having some bye weeks later in the season. But, you know, I felt that we were pretty fresh coming out of training camp. You know, we had some injuries early on. So, you know, that's one of the benefits is, you know, having some time, you know, in the later parts of the season, you know, to get guys back healthy. But, yeah, you know, I think you just always have to look at, you know, where you are right now, what the guys need at this time.
Buck, one of the conversations that we have regularly in the CFL or those involved in it is the attendance. And you just came from Winnipeg, known for the sellouts, and in Vancouver. Now you're in BC, and you're getting similar numbers. People are showing up for the Lions this year. That must be exciting for you and the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have a great fan base here, and it's growing. It's becoming younger and younger as it is, and you know, we still have a good number of, you know, season ticket holders that are, you know, at every home game, and, you know, take ferries in for the game, you know, drive in. So it's been great. You know, we've only had you know, two home games so far this season, so we're excited to get back in our own building. But the atmosphere has been excellent, and the support, you know, that we've had, you know, early on the season has been great.
Buck Pierce joining us, head coach of the BC Lions. I'm interested, as we were talking out of the break before you joined us, that Corey Mace threw on the pads and was not happy with the physicality in Saturday's loss to the Calgary Stampeders. You just played the Riders in a pretty physical game a couple of weeks ago in Regina. As a coach, do you turn on the film and see that too and go, ooh, okay, yeah, we can't expect to see that version of the Riders. They're going to be better than what they showed against the Calgary Stampeders this week.
No, absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, we understand to, you know, win in this league and, you know, win consistently. Your best is required at all times, and if you don't, you know, then your, you know, chances of winning are extremely slim, no matter who you're playing. You know, we expect a physical game. You know, the defense, you know, for the Riders, you know, very physical, you know, extremely, you know, tough front. You know, so we got to make sure that we're ready to go.
Buck, Nathan is looking like he's getting his legs underneath him. He's getting back to his old sort of self. What are you seeing in his game right now?
I think he's playing with confidence. You know, I think he's seeing the field well. I think he's adjusting to, you know, the new offense and how we want, you know, certain things done and tweaked, you know, that might be a little bit different. You know, the reality is, you know, the biggest hurdle is just, you know, getting on the same page with receivers, you know, play callers, all those type things of, you know, how I call a game compared to, you know, other places that he's been as well and other play callers. But, you know, I think he's, you know, now being able to, you know, get a little more comfortable with the guys around him, and that's always positive. But, you know, he's put a ton of work in the off season, so excited to see him doing well and, you know, continuing to build on those things.
This is the first time you've been able to work with Nathan, of course. As a former quarterback yourself and the quarterbacks you worked with in Winnipeg, I know there's a bunch of them with, you know, Maddie, yeah, Nichols and Zach Collaros. What do you see from a young Nathan Rourke in his game? Does he remind you of maybe a younger Zach too?
Yeah, you know, he's very, you know, inquisitive, very, you know, curious about, you know, learning everything, you know, wanting to understand how I see this, you know, how I want, you know, certain concepts read, you know, how we watch film together. You know, extremely coachable, just, you know, wanting to learn everything, wants to know the why behind everything. And also, you know, getting more comfortable, you know, with each other, you know, so, you know, he's able to say, hey, you know, Buck, I like this, you know, can we do this? You know, those type of things. And that's the relationship you want at this level is you want to be on the same page you know, seeing things, you know, the same way as the play caller.
James Butler back with the Lions, Buck, career high in yards in Edmonton on the weekend. It must be nice to see that 1-2 punch starting to really work for the Lions right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you're always looking for balance, right? And every game's not going to be like that. And you know, that's what we try and, you know, tell our players is every week, you know, it might look a little bit different, you know, but as long as we get the win and as long as we're able to execute and, you know, continuing to build, you know, different tools in our toolbox, right? So if we need to run the ball, you know, 30 times, we're able to do that, right? If it's a different type of game, you know, and we're in more drop back, we're able to do that as well. So that's what you're trying to build. You're trying to build a balance and you know, for the guys up front, you know, they did a fantastic job, you know, for James, and I was proud of the effort and how the group performed.
That is Buck Pierce, head coach of the BC Lions, on the Green Zone. For the full interview, you can check it out on the podcast section of the website. But for the Riders side of things, don't like that injury report when you have Roland Milligan Jr., the star defensive back, Marcus Sales, another star defensive back, and Tavon Campbell, who had a pick six against the BC Lions, all limited or not participating in practice today.
MLS was more involved, this, or at least his status
slightly
went up.
Yeah, he went from limited to full participant, but yeah, as Britton said, he didn't spend a lot of time with the first team offense.
So that's good news for the offense, but the defense, man, that's going to show up on the field on Saturday if they all three of those guys are missing.
Although, Corey Mace did believe all three in the secondary should play on Saturday.
Do we believe him, though?
We'll see. There's been times where he has disclosed an injury as being, he's tracking the right way, and then they're not playing. So we'll see where the injuries go for the Rough Riders with Roland Milligan Jr., and especially Marcus Sales. They, of course, you saw it, and Antoine Brooks Jr. got beat on that big Damian Alford touchdown and filling in for Tavon Campbell. So some things to keep an eye on for the Riders during practice this week ahead of their trip to Vancouver. Still to come on the Green Zone, we're getting set for the MLB All-Star Game and also what's to be coming after the All-Star Game with the Jays in position to make a run for the World Series. And Scottie Scheffler had a lot of golf fans and pundits scratching their head on what the heck he was talking about today on how winning may not even matter anymore in the world of golf. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Good tune. This is very conflicting for me because there's country guys out there that I really like, but Chris Stapleton is one of them.
He can do anything.
He's very talented.
Do anything.
Have you heard their Metallica? I think I played it for you.
Yeah.
Have I played you his Metallica cover?
His Metallica cover, BB King covers. He can do it. Chris Stapleton can
do it. He's a very talented guy. Yeah.
And a nice laid-back show if you ever see him live as well.
You've gone to his show? I haven't.
Absolutely.
I have not gone to
his show. That was the first concert. I think he was here in 2021. They're still masking and stuff. I saw him at the Brandt Center. That was like one of the first "We're Free" concerts I went to with Chris Stapleton. American League All-Star Game. Major League Baseball All-Star Game, American League, National League in Atlanta tonight.
6 o'clock start.
That's our game of the night, by the way, is the MLB All-Star Game. Jamie and Locker with you on this Tuesday, a day where six teams in the National Football League opened up their rookie camps, rookies reporting. Among those teams, the New York Giants, they had two first-round picks. They took the defensive end, Carter. They also took Jackson Dart, the quarterback, who will be pushing Russell Wilson for the starter's job, I imagine, sooner rather than later. Also some NFL news, the New York Jets. What are they doing with all that Aaron Rodgers money now that he's a Pittsburgh Steelers? Well, they are
locking up some young talent.
Yes, they are. Sauce Gardner, defensive back, signed a four-year extension, $130 million today. Yesterday, Garrett Wilson got a four-year extension, $120 million, as those two were offensive and defensive rookies of the year.
Two fantastic athletes.
They are incredible. And we'll see what they do with Justin Fields as the quarterback now of the New York Jets.
Do you think the Jets make...
No.
No?
Like noise this year?
Yeah.
Here's a question. Will the Jets or the Steelers have more wins? That'll be the Steelers. It's Mike Tomlin. He never has a below 500 season, it seems. So...
I don't know. I don't think we are giving enough credit for the chaos that Aaron Rodgers is going to bring with him.
Well, he left Green Bay, and it looked like Jordan Love was just fine without him with the Green Bay Packers. Maybe addition by subtraction for the New York Jets. But I just don't think Justin Fields is that guy. This week, the Open Championship, as they put a wrap on the fourth Grand Slam, or fourth major golf tournament of the year. I was thinking tennis there for a second. The fourth major championship, the British Open, Royal Portrush.
Royal Portrush. Is that Rory's childhood? I know he played it when he was young, but is it like his... course that he learned on? I don't think so.
It's in Northern Ireland. That's where he's from, so he has the course record.
61 he shot when he
at was the old 50. Course at the old course. Shane Lowry, the other Northern Irishman, has the new course record of a 63. But making news today is world number one golfer Scottie Scheffler, who went on a five-minute, I don't want to call it a rant, diatribe of what it means to be the best in golf.
Is it great to be able to win tournaments and to accomplish the things I have in the game of golf? Yeah. I mean, it brings tears to my eyes just to think about, because it's literally worked my entire life to become good at this sport, and to have that kind of sense of accomplishment, I think, is a pretty cool feeling. You know, to get to live out your dreams is very special. But at the end of the day, it's like, I'm not out here to inspire the next generation of golfers. I'm not here to inspire somebody else to be the best player in the world, because what's the point? You know, this is not a fulfilling life. It's fulfilling from the sense of accomplishment, but it's not fulfilling from a sense of like the deepest, you know, places of your heart. You know, there's a lot of people that make it to what they thought was going to fulfill them in life, and then you get there and all of a sudden you get to number one in the world, and then they're like, what's the point?
What's the point? He went on.
You know, what is the point? You're like, why do I want to win this tournament so bad? That's something that I wrestle with on a daily basis. It's like showing up at the Masters every year. It's like, why do I want to win this golf tournament so badly? Why do I want to win the Open Championship so badly? I don't know. Because if I win, it's going to be awesome for about 2 minutes. And then we're going to get to the next week, and it's going to be like, hey, you won two majors this year. How important is it for you to win the FedEx Cup playoffs? And it's just like, we're back here again, you know? So we really do. We work so hard for such little moments. And, you know, I'm kind of a sicko. I love putting in the work. I love being able to practice. I love getting out to live out my dreams. But at the end of the day, sometimes I just don't understand the point, you know, because I don't know if I'm making any sense or not, but am I not? It's just one of those deals. You know, I love the challenge. I love being able to play this game for a living. It's one of the greatest joys of my life. But does it fill the deepest, you know, wants and desires of my heart? Absolutely not.
So Scottie does. Then he moves on to talk about his family. Okay,
he was trying to recover. And that's my explanation.
After that awkward, like, am I making sense? And people are like laughing at him. Like, no, I'm not.
Why does this make me so angry?
Well, because I think it's a slap in the face to every pro golfer who is trying to make the cut, who's, you know, trying to do it and trying to push themselves. And the sacrifice they make, it's the same sacrifice. Scottie Scheffler's not working much harder than any other professional golfer. They all wake up early. They all hit thousands of golf balls and putt to their heart's content to try to get better, and they leave their families and they tour around, and a lot of players actually play more than Scotty does because he doesn't have to play every event. He shows up, he makes the cut, he wins $4 million at the U.S. Open, and he can move on with his life.
He's made $87 million in his career.
So for him to just say, what's the point of being the best, and would I advise guys to like chase it? No, it's not going to be that fulfilling. I'm like, pardon me?
This is a midlife crisis. Go buy a Corvette.
And that's where it was. But it's just not that satisfying.
What I'm trying to say is this is not the place to look for your satisfaction. This is something that's where you can have a great appreciation.
So don't bother trying, everybody.
A great amount of thankfulness for being able to do this. And it's literally one of the most fun things that I can do in my entire life. I love being able to come out here and play golf and compete. But at the end of the day, it's just not what satisfies me.
Now, again, he turns it back to his family, which I go, no bleep, Sherlock. Of course your family's number one. He said, if this got in the way of my relationship with my wife and my son, I'd quit tomorrow. Well, of course you would. Anybody would. If they went home and they're deeply in love and they're looking at a family that's just like disgusted with you, you're going to go through it. You're going to go through some things. I get it, especially when you've already made $100 million with sponsorships and winnings and everything else.
Yeah.
It's an easy decision to make to go, yeah, I'm going to walk away now. Thanks. See you later. But then again, he can only, okay, I'll just play 10 events.
Now, if he's struggling mentally, right, which might be the case, like he might be going through some stuff, then that's fine. Like, I understand that. But, yeah, there's just, like, that. It's the wrong place. And again, I think the thing that upsets me about this is that there is a certain amount of responsibility that I think you have when you take on a certain career. And I've always felt, and this is me, this is a personal thing, this thing in front of us gives us the power to communicate with many, many people. And if you're given an opportunity to give back, that I've always felt like it's important to do that, right? So I've always looked for opportunities to give back in my career in radio, right? Charity-wise, that kind of thing. Somebody's got an event. Like, if I can help out, I usually try to do that. So there's a certain amount of responsibility, I think, Scotty Scheffler, that you have. So when you're sitting on a podium in front of potentially millions of people saying stuff like, I am not here to inspire the youth, that is the wrong thing to say. It is, it's irresponsible, in my opinion. It is not refreshing. I don't understand why people are making this, like, we heard it on TSN today. This is refreshing to hear him be on. Like, okay, yes, maybe the honesty is refreshing, but, like, pick your spot. Like, it's the wrong.
As I said, I think it's disrespectful to the other pros on tour to say, I don't really care if I win.
There are people out there that would give body parts to do what he's doing for a living. Gratitude. We have a lack of gratitude in the world that we live in now, and it's starting to creep its way into, like, you can't. I'm sorry. We're getting some text. List the family side of it. Yeah, you can't defend what Scotty Scheffler is saying in this press conference, in my very humble opinion, and maybe I'm wrong about that, but you can't defend what he's saying.
The only part I get is the family comes first.
Yes, but everybody's family should come first.
Exactly. Like, he's not. That's not anything new.
If you're not fulfilled by what you're doing,
What is the point?
What is the point? What is the point of trying to excel at anything? And if you win, it only lasts a couple of minutes? Really?
That's on you.
Really? You think it only lasts a couple of minutes when you won your first major, your second one, your third one? I would vehemently look at Scotty Scheffler and go, really? Come on. In the off season, when there is one, and you see those trophies in your case, you're going, ah, what's the point?
I remember, and
I think it's, and I also think it's a, I can call a little BS on it too, because if it didn't matter to him, if it was who cares,
well, he did say
he's not waking up every day doing what he does if it didn't matter?
It matters. So he's downplaying it. I don't know what he... The motivation is lost on me. I remember we had a student at a radio station I worked at, and the midday guy got a hold of this. And basically, I walked in on a conversation he was having, and the guy was just going like, "Don't bother with this. This is the worst industry I've ever been involved." And just like, this kid is in school to do something he's dreamed about his whole life, and this guy is just like tearing it down in front of him. And I'm like, I pulled him aside afterwards and I said, "What are you doing? This kid just spent 2-3 years going to school for this. He shows up the first day he's at practicum and you basically just destroyed everything that he's been working to like have some, right?" And that's what this, what Scottie Scheffler was doing, in my opinion. This isn't worth it, kids. Like, that is irresponsible. It's not refreshing at all.
Coming up next here on the Green Zone. Maybe Scottie Scheffler is our champ.
We should chump him.
The Champs and Chumps on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You two are winners. Big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Each and every day, one champ, one chump. So we're chumping Scottie Scheffler then?
Easy.
Because it doesn't matter if you win a golf tournament. It's not fulfilling whatsoever. I don't even know what I'm doing this for.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Question it all the time. Well, then stop. Because I'd like to see it now.
He's gonna win the British Open.
Of course he will.
And then everybody's going to be like, does he really care if he wins the British Open or not? The gratefulness is only going to wear off after a minute or two.
I'll be honest.
When he's worrying about his bangers and mash that one.
I've never liked him. But that just solidified it for me.
Our champ here in the Green Zone.
Him and Adam Scott for using that long putter. It drives me crazy.
Jerky. I'm going to get a long putter just so when we go golfing, I'll just bring it out of the bag the first time. I won't know how to use it because I've never used one.
You got to put it under your chin.
Yeah. Our champ. Hey, you need to own your mistakes in life. That's very important. When you make a mistake, you need to own it.
Accountability.
And over the weekend.
Lack of that in the world
the
right now, too.
Drunk guy from the viral golf fight clip with former NHLer Nick Tarnaski took to his Instagram account and said, "Hi, it's me, everybody."
Showed a quick little clip of him being thrown
into the lake. He's like, "That's me.
It wasn't my finest moment."
Yeah. No, it wasn't, sir. And he proceeded to explain that they played two rounds that day. That was the second 18. So they're on like their 32nd or 31st hole of the afternoon, and they've been drinking all day. And he said, "Yeah, I was way too drunk to be golfing.
And I deserved it.
So
we were talking about this.
Owned it.
In the Green Zone Lounge earlier today, Jamie. And you, that is the unluckiest guy on the planet.
Of all the times to be drunk and slow at golf.
Run in your mouth and then run into a guy that, like, if you know Nick Tarnaski.
Well, Nick Tarnaski was on Spit and Chicklets, and he explained how he lived his career in Russia, which is pretty much being paid by the owner to start brawls. He would get money,
yes,
cash money, to start brawls because the owner liked fights. No wonder he defaulted to, "I'm going to punch a guy in the face." Of all the guys to run into on the golf course, you pick Nick Tarnaski in Red Deer, Alberta.
Worst luck ever.
But also,
we got to champ him. What he did, but for the fact that he owned it. And he released a little video and said, "I'm sorry I was a jerk, and I apologize to everybody that I offended that day."
And everybody in Red Deer now knows who he is and his name and his Instagram account.